Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No balls in one strike. The big right-hander ready and delivers. Swing and a ground ball to shortstop. Kim has it. Friendly hop. Throw to first. That is a no-hitter, and that is history. Joe Musgrove with the first no-hitter in Padre history. April 9th, 2021, at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. The kid comes home, and he gets it done.
I mean, that was one of the most incredible nights of my career. I've never been a part of one, seeing it. It was amazing. I mean, it was, you can't even describe it. How well he threw the ball. I noticed it from the fifth inning. He had something going, and after that, I knew he was gonna get it. It was just meant to be. He's from San Diego. We've never thrown one in the history of our organization, and it couldn't land on a better person, on a better guy than Joe. And I was just glad to be a part of that special night for him and for the ball club. And it was a very emotional night and a crazy day. So we're always gonna remember that one, obviously, but. For me, it was one of the most incredible nights of my career, so I was glad to be a part of it.
How about that? Manny Machado never been a part of a no-hitter. It's amazing. Baseball-playing career. Joe Musgrove had never thrown one in Little League,
any level,
high school, minor leagues, ever. Gets his first one. Victor Caratini, he gets a lot of no-hitters, catches them all the time. Probably expecting to have three or four more before the
season's
over.
No big deal.
No big deal for Victor Caratini. That's just what that guy does. Behind the plate. It's Ben and Woods, last hour on a Monday morning here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm watching Manny right now on a replay of yesterday's game. It's a ninth inning.
I think he's going to hit a homer.
Facing Ian Kennedy, and I think we're about a pitch away. Remember when Ian Kennedy was like the number one starter for the Padres?
I do.
I like this better. I like this now.
Is more fun.
I like now better. It's a lot more fun. So while we enjoy Manny's second deck shot again, we welcome to the show and on to our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, A.J. Cassavell from MLB.com covering the Padres. A.J., good morning to you.
Morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing really well. That was a really fun weekend. I know as a baseball reporter, a no-hitter is even special for guys like us who cover the team because you just never know when it's going to strike, and it finally happened for the Padres.
Yeah, and especially as a reporter, for it to have the storylines that it had. I mean, it wasn't just, not that there's such a thing as just the no-hitter. Whoever threw it in San Diego would be fun, but this one in particular, from I think our perspective, was particularly fun because of how many different stories you can tell and what it really meant to the guy who did it and to the city who rallied behind him. Before and afterward, it's just really, really cool.
I said it on Saturday when we came in. We did a couple of hours, obviously, on Saturday, AJ. If you wrote it, they would throw it away because they'd say, look, I mean, it's just full of cliches. I mean, it's just there's too many cliches. Mix it up a little bit. It's almost corny how cliche and amazing that story is. It's like a Disney movie. It you couldn't even, if you scripted it, they would think it was too basic. And it just... and I think Don actually summed it up. He said it was like it was waiting for it to happen until Joe got here. And in his second start, AJ, for him to go out and do that, I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, and I talked to a few former Padre pitchers over the weekend, and they all kind of seemed to be elated that it was Joe who did it. And so I think that's really, really cool because there's a bit, obviously been a lot of no-hit heartbreak through the years, and including some of those guys I spoke to, and for everyone to kind of rally behind Joe Musgrove and I guess really appreciate the fact that if anyone's going to do it, it's really cool that the person who did it is someone who recognizes the significance of it.
Yeah.
I just thought that was that kind of it kind of went beyond just the game of baseball. It was just really, really cool as a life story, I thought.
Now, AJ, I'm going to anticipate the next thing we're going to hear from Padres fans, which is, wait, how long do they have him under control? Just one more season after this? Oh, when are they going to sign Joe Musgrove to a contract extension, AJ?
You know what, Ben? It's been such a busy weekend that this is the first time I've even thought about it. There's just been so much else going on. But what I will say is, it's not like this isn't. I think if you go back and look throughout history, there have been some no hitters that seem a little bit fluky, like the Phil Umber perfect game.
Yeah.
But Joe Musgrove, if you go back to kind of the end of last season and where he is this season, the mechanical adjustments he's made, the way he started using his breaking pitches a little bit differently. Like, he's got really, really dominant stuff. And so I think with any no-hitter, you maybe need a little bit of good fortune. You need guys to be placed in the right spots a little bit. I mean, no no-hitters are 27 strikeout no-hitters, so there's always a little bit of batted ball luck there. But this was as clean a no-hitter as you could get, and it came from a guy who was pitching like he could throw a no-hitter at any moment. I mean, you just look back to how he pitched in the first game of the season. He's really, really good. And like you said, he is under contract for another year and 5 months, and then what happens, who knows, but I imagine that after this weekend and even before this weekend, based on the way he feels about San Diego and the way San Diego feels about him, that would be something both parties would probably be interested in.
Talking to our pal AJ Cassavell from MLB.com here on Ben and Woods. We said it Saturday, it was such a great night. On Friday, we actually felt bad a little bit for Chris Paddock having to go out and take the ball on Saturday. You know, the expectations obviously have been ratcheted up. And, you know, the way I can best describe Chris Paddock, he's in a bit of purgatory, AJ, in that he's not doing enough to make everybody shut up about him, but he's also not pitching the team out of the game completely when he goes out. It's just, again, kind of a very pedestrian-ish fourth starter, fifth starter type start. And the Padres were able to come back and score some runs, win that game. He didn't factor in the decision at all. But your thoughts on Chris Paddock and just how long the leash may be?
Part of the leash, I think, depends on the health of the other guys in the rotation. But like you said, I mean, he's doing the things that I think a serviceable number five starter would do, in that I know he hasn't worked too deep into ball games, but I think that's a product of where we are in the season. But it hasn't completely been like 2020, where he gives up a run or two and then he implodes and it becomes six. He's managed to limit the damage in those two starts. And if you get Chris Paddock, who struggles a little bit but limits the damage, as your number five starter, and then your top four are Snell, Darvish, Musgrove, and Lamet, say, that's a rotation you can live with. That's
yes.
A rotation you can be very, very, very happy with. And so I think the Padres are still going to do everything they can to kind of rekindle the 2019 Chris Paddock, but I don't know what it is. I would guess it's probably something mental, all the way all those games spiraled last season on him. If he limits that and just kind of and you still maybe expect one or two really kind of misplaced fastballs from him that lead to a couple runs each night, but otherwise you can limit the damage, and that's what you get out of your number five. I think that's a pretty good thing.
Well, he threw his curveball in that start, right? He threw his curveball for strikes, it looked to be like it was going to be a little bit different. But again, a couple of hard hit balls, again, Hosmer's got to make that play to start the game. He just does. I mean, when he's out there, you got to get some runs on the board. You got to show him a little bit of support defensively. And it just seems that when he's out there on the bump right now, it does feel that he's just a touch snake bit. And I know some of it is his own doing, AJ. But yeah, I watch that and just go, oh boy. You have kind of that sinking feeling when he takes the ball right now.
Yeah, and I think that's fair when you look at the rest of the rotation and who you have. I think if you're
right.
If you're conditioned on a nightly basis to expect what you expect from Darvish and Snell and Musgrove, I think there's it's going to seem a little different when you get the guy out there who's struggling a little bit, because those other guys, frankly, they don't struggle very much. And so I think there is a way to kind of figure it out. I'm not a pitching coach. I don't know what that way is. I don't know what the way is to get Chris Paddock's fastball back to what it was in 2019 and to kind of maybe blend his breaking pitches a little better. But for the time being, it does feel like if there's a weak link in the rotation, it's him, and that's not to say it can't be solved.
Talking to our friend AJ Cassavell, Padres reporter for MLB.com, and of course, you talked about health of the starting rotation and Adrian Morejon going down yesterday. That was rough to see. I know we'll probably get more of an update later today, but I'm bracing myself for bad news. Obviously, what do you think the Padres are going to do with their starting rotation this week, given we know today's Darvish, tomorrow's Snell? Jay Stengel kind of left it open after that. How do you think it's going to play out then the rest of the week?
Well, I know what I would do, and I haven't really – I mean, this was kind of just me thinking it up last night. I know Jace has talked a little bit about pushing Joe Musgrove back after his 112 pitches. Well, the Padres play the Dodgers this weekend, and if you're going to push Musgrove back, then you're also going to push Paddock back, and Paddock starts Friday against the Dodgers in the first Padres-Dodger game of the season. And I, right now, based on the way Paddock's pitching, don't know if that's what you want. And obviously that would line up Snell and Darvish to take the ball in games 2 and 3. But I think Paddock only threw somewhere in the 70s number of pitches. So maybe you keep him in his normal spot. You bump Musgrove back by 2 days, give him that extra rest. I mean, because he really, really went all out for that no-hitter. And you miss out on the Musgrove returns to Pittsburgh storyline, which I think would be fun. But obviously the Padres aren't managing the storylines here. They're managing to win games. And if you go Musgrove, Darvish, and Snell this weekend against the Dodgers, I mean, that's a pretty fearsome trio. And then obviously you got to figure out who starts Wednesday. I think there are a lot of different options for that. You can go bullpen day. You could go maybe a Ryan Weathers, Nabil, Chris Mat piggyback if Chris Mat's the guy they call up. The Nelson Lamet, I would say, I would just be a little bit surprised just because of how much they've slow played him already. I know they said he's close to being ready, but I think they're really, really going to play it cautious. It's not going to be out of necessity. And then Mackenzie Gore is another option too, but I would expect, if it's anything, it to be maybe more of a bullpen day on that Wednesday, and then you go with, and then that would line you up probably exactly how you want it for the Dodgers series.
I would love it. I mean, Joe coming back to get his first start at Petco Park after a no-hitter against the Dodgers, which, by the way, very well documented his feelings about the L.A. Dodgers as well.
There's no bad storylines here, AJ.
Yeah, there's really not. No, if he pitches in Pittsburgh, great. If he pitches it Friday at Petco Park, great. It's phenomenal. And in my opinion, it lines up with yours, AJ. It's better than running a really unsure, not confident Chris Paddock out there on Friday night against a really, really good team.
Yeah, and then you get Chris Paddock. You get him a kind of a soft landing spot in Pittsburgh, and you also really aren't exerting him too much because I know the Padres have wanted to ease off on their rotation, and they said they're going to give guys extra days off here and there. I don't think Paddock needs one. I think Paddock, if anything, needs to get back out there and kind of figure this thing out, especially given that he hasn't thrown a whole lot of pitches in his first two starts.
AJ, what are you seeing from the Padres offense? They're not scoring a ton of runs, yet, you know, other than one or two guys at the bottom of the order, the numbers are pretty good. The OPSs, the on-base percentages, is this simply, you know, just not getting lucky at the right time? Is there really a problem hitting with runners in scoring position? Why aren't the runs coming for these guys right now?
Well, I think if you look across the board at some of those numbers, it was just the kind of that five-game stretch where they didn't score more than three runs in any of those games, and they did hit a little bit of a funk. And I think if it's a different part of the season, maybe we don't notice it as much, but they weren't. I mean, we saw on Saturday and Sunday even just how well they worked some counts and just how I think how frustrating their at-bats probably are to some opposing pitchers. I'm not all that concerned. I think getting Trent Grisham back, I think, is big. I also think whenever they get Austin Nola back, that'll be big. I just think that this offense has too many proven guys for it to be a lingering concern. And I think, I mean, this is probably just a hunch. I mean, there's a chance that there are bigger issues here with the number of runs the Padres are scoring. But to me, it really just felt like a five-game blip early in the season.
really does feel like a very complete ball club right now for the San Diego Padres. I don't remember the last time I was able to say that. AJ, I know you've covered the team for a while. They've had not a lot of good seasons in your tenure of covering them, but even beyond that, the fact that you can say even the playoff teams in like the 2000s, Woods, they were okay. I mean, they had some good pieces, but you never felt like they were a complete team. This feels like a complete team, AJ.
Yeah, I thought the weakness was going to be the bullpen, if anything. And here they are with the best bullpen in baseball by far so far through 10 games. I mean, it's been like lockdown dominant, as good as you could imagine. Now, it's 10 games, obviously a small sample. But it does seem like all those guys are slotting into the appropriate roles and doing what they need to do. And I think the Morejon injury is probably going to test it a little bit, because you got all these games, I think 14 games in 14 days immediately following it. And maybe Weathers has to slide to the rotation for a little bit, and maybe there's a few more question marks. But, I mean, if this bullpen with a .84 ERA was, if anything, the weakness of the team, I mean, it is a very, very complete roster and a very, very deep roster, and that's a testament to what A.J. Preller did over the offseason.
A.J., as always, appreciate it. Enjoying your coverage, and keep up the good work. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, A.J. Cassaville there on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Come visit us today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Find new roads. Yeah, I mean, I thought the Padres bullpen was going to be good, Woods.
Yeah.
This good? Of course not. I mean, they've sent down a guy with a 0.00 ERA. It's
correct.
Been that good. And Nabil Chrismont. We just had one of those rejoiners. Hey, Matt Strom with the San Diego Padres. I haven't thought about Matt Strom in a couple of weeks. He's still, you know, rehabbing and trying to get back.
Adams got back yesterday.
Austin Adams, you know, got back. Dan Altavilla has not pitched an inning yet. This bullpen is ridiculous right now. Ridiculous.
Well, let's keep it that way. You know, let's keep it that way. Let's keep them rested. I think Jace has done a really good job with these guys so far early. We need all of the, you know, look, this series coming up this weekend is going to be a big one. It's going to be a fun one. Want to make sure these guys are rested. So really important for Darvish and Snell to get their jobs done the next couple of nights and go 6-7 innings and save that bullpen a little bit.
It's also important for Darvish to start hitting a little bit, catch up with Blake Snell and his .500 average. We'll get our Boomer Bulletin from Woods.
Rough weekend for the Boomers.
Coming up here, and then more Padres calls, 833-288-0973. It's Ben and Woods. Let's check traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan.